Hello and welcome to another episode of Acting with Asher. I'm your host, Jade Asher. So today I've got a very special guest on the show. He's an actor I've known for a few years now on the British independent scene, and he's the most lovely guy ever. His credits include EastEnders, Silent Witness, Babs, Holby City, and Shakespeare and Hathaway. It is the one and only Mr. Todd Von Joel. Hello, here we have Todd today. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, first of all, thank you very much for asking me on. I'm very flattered, and this is actually the first podcast I've ever done.
So, is it?
Yes, I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, good. And I'm sorry it's so hot as usual.
I have heard from previous podcasts the temperature can soar, so I'm lucky I've got my glass of ice.
Yeah, I've got your glass of ice, so you're all right. So I just want to start off, like, I actually love your name.
Oh, okay.
Todd Von Joel.
Yeah.
Is that your actual name?
There is a story behind my name, and I do get asked quite a lot. So my dad, who I'm estranged to and don't know, is from Doncaster in the north of England. And he moved to London and made up the name Von Joel out of absolutely nowhere to make himself sound more exotic and got it changed by Deepole. This is what I'm told. So obviously it became my name, and everyone wants to know if I'm Dutch or German, or they call me Van Joel. But so it is my legitimate name. That's it. And I used to hate it at school, and people would wire me up about it. But now for acting, it suits me quite well, because if you Google my name, I'm the only one.
Amazing.
So it's a legitimate name, but it is as ridiculous as it sounds, the origin.
I love it. And how did you get into acting?
Acting was the only thing I ever enjoyed doing at school. And without getting too deep, I can look back after years of counselling and psychotherapy. It was probably the want to be noticed and that applause junkie and to feel good about myself, and a form of expression is probably the subconscious psychological reasons I got involved. But it's the only thing I like doing. I just I just love it. It's one of the only things that I like that take naturally to. That and being a dad, of course. But.
So I know you went to uni.
Yeah.
So is that, you went to high school, then did you do anything between?
I had a bit of a misspent youth. So by 19, I was kicked out of home, school and in prison. So I sort of was on one sort of path, and I'd lost all my sort of confidence and any sort of positivity and drive, and lived quite a negative lifestyle for a number of years. But it was when I was 26, I did an access course, which was completing things I didn't finish at school. And then from there, I went on to do a degree at university in creative writing and drama, which I'm proud to say I got a first in, but has not helped me in any way in my acting career. But what it did do was give me that confidence in myself, and I was able to reflect on a lot of the negative behaviours I've been doing and turn them into positive things through the writing side of the course. And it gave me an angle to get into acting, and as in that sort of non-drama school angle. So I really played on that, you know, that sort of raw talent London boy thing. And that got me in to my first few sort of proper jobs.
Can I ask, what did you go to prison for?
There was a combination of things going on at the time, but I believe the actual charge that I went to prison that time was a threatening words and behaviour, which I'm not proud of, and I won't go into details about the incident. All I can say is that I'm not that same person anymore.
How do you think that has affected your career in any way? Do you feel like it's helped you as an actor?
I think if someone goes, oh, the person's got a criminal record, it can immediately put some people off. So what I did was I thought, I'm not going to hide this. I'm going to wear it like a badge, and I'm going to use it to stand it next to the fact that I've got a first class degree. And what's that's going to show you, that as a person, I've been as low as someone can sort of get to with a massive transmogrification into a real sort of high. So I'm selling myself, you believe in me, not the past or the future. You see that I've got this in my locker to do that, and these various set of skills and experiences to draw on. So I've very much been open about that, and tried to use it to my advantage in as much as I could do, whilst maintaining being honest and telling people how it is, really.
That's an amazing thing, really, because you've used something that you could see as a negative, and you've turned it into a positive. And also, people love that honesty.
Yeah, I think I was behaving for a long period of my life in a very self-destructive and antisocial way. But I see now that that was all coming from a place of fear and insecurity and a confused masculinity of what it was to be a man, and with no sort of male role models and things. I mean, this is all stuff I'm saying I've learnt now through my recovery and counselling and stuff, and it's all sort of a bit embarrassing, but I understand it now, and that's why I do a lot of work trying to sort of mentor and help, whether it's ex-offenders or other young men. And so I try and be the person I needed when I was younger, which it sounds really... It's as much, I get as much from that as the other people, do you know what I mean? So I'm not doing it selfishly, but the best way to sort of help yourself is to help other people.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do. And if I can do that and maintain myself as like a good person that's useful, then that's enough for me, you know?
How did you get your first job in acting? How did that come about?
The first mainstream, one mainstream job which I sort of got was a bit of a blag. So I started off totally at the bottom doing extra work, and I did quite well. I'd always get picked, and then I'd usually probably 70% of the time get pulled out to get like at the front or the odd line or something. And it was in a comedy show, I think it was on BBC Two, called Rev. And I got picked out by the director, who I didn't know at the time was Peter Cataneo, who did The Full Monty and some other great British films. And he obviously identified me as a bit of like a potential yob. So I just got a bit of dialogue shouting and just being a hooligan in one of the scenes. And then I ended up getting quite a nice bit of screen time and was a screensaver on the DVD and stuff. So that sort of came from acting work, but it was the beginning of sort of blagging a career. And then, yeah, there was a few of that, a bit of extra stuff, which I could sort of make out was a part. And then, yeah, a load of short films. Some turned out to be brilliant. Some never got finished. Some were total Mickey Mouse. You know, you've got to kiss a few frogs. And I've done loads of stuff. And you know what it's like? You might do 30 short films and one of them is really good and gets a little run at a festival and stuff. So, yeah, it worked my way up from that. And then with TV and film, it's just been like small parts. I might have a few lines in an episode and then I'd get a scene. Then I'd get three scenes. Then I'd get a guest lead, then I get an episode, and then three episodes, and it worked its way up sort of organically. However, it's come to a temporary stop, so if the acting gods are listening, bring me back in, please.
But I love what you said when you said you kind of blagged it, because I feel like that's how I forged my career.
Well, what it is we're all set, aren't we, as actors? And it's like, what can I do? And you've got to just showcase your talents that you've got. Anything sort of is better than nothing. So you've almost like, I don't like the expression, but you've got to polish a turd. You've got to make whatever it is you've got look good and sort of a selling point. And you know what it's like. It's the law of attraction. You do something, you put out then the right attitude, it will come back to you in other ways. And you've got to keep going. And also, you've got to be a bit of a mad obsessive. Like, when I first started, I didn't have a child, so I could put all my energy into being obsessed. For example, I worked out my typecast, then I worked out the sort of films my typecast was in, then I worked out who cast them, then I worked out who directed them, then I targeted them all individually, then I put together a sort of narrative, which was true, but based myself so I could immediately be selling myself as soon as I got into places. And if you look at it strategic, like a business, and control the controllables, there are certain things you can do before anyone even sees you act or do anything. Do you know what I mean? And if you can sleep at night knowing you've done everything you can do to further your career, then that's a good place to be. And even if it's just little tweaks and changing things on this website or that site, there's always something that can be done. And you might look at other people and go, oh, they do that. That's a good idea. I'm going to do that. And we always think, oh, this isn't good enough. That's some crap. But it's not. We're all most critical of ourselves, aren't we? So it's like when you asked me to come in this, I said, I don't really feel like an actor. I haven't really done much. You're like, no, you've got a really great
CV. Literally got all, when you look at all your credits, I was just like, okay, so I'm going to run through some of the credits you've got.
Okay.
So you've got EastEnders, Silent Witness, Babs. I saw you in that. I didn't even know you were in that. I was watching it. I was like, oh, there he is. And then we've got Shakespeare and Hathaway and Holby City. Like, you know, there's so many actors that like, I've never even got my foot in any of those doors.
Oh, well, I'm really grateful to have had those experiences, and it was great to be on that sort of BBC radar. And I think if you do one thing and you do well and you show the right attitude, they're going to give you sort of a chance again. And that was a nice little run of projects I got through them, and I'm really grateful. There's a couple of brilliant casting directors there: Julia Crampsey, Rochelle Warren, who's married now, so her name might be slightly different. John Cannon, who just really gave me a chance, and I hope that I fulfilled their trust. I hope I did a good job for them.
Well, you must have, because they asked you back. So how many of these jobs were cast by the same casting directors?
I think there's... they all sort of know each other as like a team, so they might just go, oh, is that guy... That Todd, is he all right? Yeah, he's all right. Or no, don't use him again, or whatever. But each of them has a different department at the BBC. So there's someone that will do EastEnders, someone that will do Holby. And I think there's some sort of moving around, and then they've got their assistants and things. And Julia oversees the whole lot, I think. Julia Crampsey's like the head cast director there. Apologies if I've got that wrong. I don't mean to offend anyone.
But you've got two really great agents in your voiceover and acting. So I can't remember, what's your name of the acting agent again?
AIM.
And how did you, when, what, at one point in your career did you get represented by them?
Well, I've literally, with agents again, it's a work my up. I think the first thing is, if you haven't gone agent, just try and get someone, because it just looks a bit more sort of legitimate. And if you do get that lucky dip that of a mainstream project, they will want to go through an agent 9 out of 10 times. And then I sort of would stay with an agent and found myself very proactive. But ideally, once I got to a certain level, I'd try and sort of move up the sort of ranks in agents. And with the theory being that the more established the agent, the better their relationship with casting directors, the more jobs they've got access to, and the more clout they hold. So it's a case of just sort of been working my way up. And that's not to say one agent has been a better or worse for me in a way that I'm talking badly about past agents. It's just some are a better fit, or the timings or whatever. But usually I would try and give at least a year, possibly 2 years to any agent. But we have to look at the veils. As long as we're doing everything we can, you feel that your agent's doing everything they can. And sometimes it just requires a bit of luck and sort of and patience. But don't be afraid to move. If you're really not, if you feel that you haven't got that relationship or attention with your agent, I'd suggest maybe having a quiet look about. But be realistic. Don't get me wrong. The top agents have all had my headshot and CV.
Yeah.
And I've had no reply most of the time. But do you know what I mean?
What would you say is the most challenging part of being an actor for you?
For me, it was people's, like, just the lifestyle and the unpredictability. And there's a saying, isn't there? No one from a happy childhood goes into acting. And there's no sort of security there. But I've always had a day job. I've worked in construction and I work for myself. So it's quite flexible and it works around acting. So I can just drop stuff and do acting when it's there. What I would say, and I haven't been in this situation yet, is with my son, I'm a single dad. So if I did get a real decent role in something which required a large amount of time, I would have an internal conflict about the amount of time I'd possibly have to spend away from my son. I think I can honestly say that if I had a sort of big job in America or something, I wouldn't take it. Because although I want a career, now I've got a son and I've got such an important role in his life and he's so important in mine, I wouldn't be able to be away from him that distant time for his sake and for my sake. I haven't had to cross that bridge, but I feel that I'd at least want to stay in the, I'd want to stay in the country. I wouldn't be able to be away from him. I couldn't let him have, I don't want him to experience any of the things that I went through. Do you know what I mean? He needs his dad there.
Definitely.
Especially as he gets older, you know.
Has he ever seen anything you've been in?
When I was on EastEnders, I had some friends and family around. He was only, I think it was 2 or 3 then, and he was just going, "Daddy, Daddy," on TV. He sort of gets it. He likes it, but he was too young to really sort of understand. He's more excited when I wear my high vis and go painting.
that can be more exciting sometimes. Yeah. So voiceovers, you do voiceovers as well. How did you get into that?
Well, during the downspell of acting, I just thought, right, I'm going to do a voice reel. So I went to Soho Voices at the time, paid £100, did 3 clips for my typecast. So I just thought, right, a football one, a tyre one, something else. Just speaking how I speak. I don't do accents. I'm a bit of a one-trick pony. You sort of get what you see with that. And I wrote to every voice agent in London, and one got back to me, Calypso Voices. And I thought, right, I'm going to sign with them, whoever. And it turned out that it was Jane Savage, and Calypso Voices were one of, I'd say, probably the top 4 in the country. My first job was for the Royal Navy, and I did that in one take, and they used that clip for over like 5 years. My name's Nava, made in London, born in the Royal Navy.
I
it's on
that.
All the time. And I made massive money out of it. I couldn't believe it. And I'm so impressed with them as an agent and an organisation. Yeah, it's a big shout to Jane and Nikki from Calypso Voices. And from then I've gone on to like Google, Xbox. I do quite a lot of stuff for TFL, PlayStation, Carlsberg, Nestle, like all of them, like proper name brand products. And my voice reel and my voice career, I'm very proud of. I've definitely achieved more in my voice work credit wise than my acting work. And the money's great as well.
Yeah. So you've worked in front and behind the camera. Do you think that's helped you as an actor in any way, or just dealing with being an actor?
I think it's helped me understand how film sets, etc. work, which therefore is going to sort of broaden my horizons as an actor. It's helped me bring people in. I like the idea of being able to give people a chance that might not otherwise get a look in. So I will get involved in the casting and try and get actors that I've worked with or my friends and stuff involved in projects. For example, we worked together on a stylist shoot. So I'll always do that, and then in return, like you kindly asked me on here, so I like that side of things, and it's just quite a nice. I like the hustle and bustle. I like being busy. I like communicating with people, and yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I like it. I mean, obviously, acting's what I sort of want to do, but I'd rather be doing something in production than painting and decorating. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So if the opportunity's there, well, I will drop the paintbrush and go and do that.
And what I like about the independent scene that we both kind of worked in, because you've done a few jobs in that scene as well, do you find that it helps and there's a kind of community going on?
Yeah, I think you do start to recognise the people. There's certainly obviously different generations of people that come through, but you start to recognise the people that have, one, stuck with it, because people do just disappear. You start to see the people that are doing it. Some people will go off and become very successful camera-wise. You see other people, they start producing their own things. And everyone sort of goes off on a different tangent. And I don't see other people's careers as a threat. I'm very much... well done. Like every job I get, I see it as a bonus. Like I don't see it as the real world, because I don't earn the majority of my living through acting. So I just see anything I get from that as bonus money. And realistically, we'd probably all do these things for free because we love it. So I like to see people sort of doing well around me. And if I can have an opportunity to work with them, I'll try and broach that subject and make it happen. And yeah, it's good. If anything, it's just sort of inspiring. For me, like acting is a career and decorating is my day job. So I'm interested in my career. So if someone's doing something, I'm interested in what they're doing. And no one's your competition. Actually, everyone looks different. There's a place for everyone, fat, thin, tall, small, whatever. So I don't know why some people feel they need to try and be something they're not, try and change their look or their sound, because there'll be other people that want to be like you. It's find your unique selling point, your strong thing, and just rinse it. If you can, I don't know, like I've got a background in music. If you can bring anything extra to the table, I can do graffiti, for example. Used to do a lot of pirate radio stuff. So I've got a talent with music and words and stuff. So if you can do that, other people haven't got that. So just concentrate on highlighting your skills. I box, so that's something I can use. But I'm not going to try and pretend I'm a horse rider. I can't play the piano. You're not going to cast me as a Shakespearean character. You're probably going to cast me as gang leader. But like, yeah. I'm cool with that. Like, more opportunities can come, hopefully, as you prove yourself. But play to your strengths just to start with. You can earn a good living of playing to your strengths. All the way up, we see people, like even at the highest level, playing sort of similar roles because they're good at that and that's what they are.
How do you think if someone, because obviously you've got a very distinctive character, how do you think that someone that doesn't really know what their strengths are, how do you think they could find themselves in a way?
Well, that might be their strength. They might be that I can, their strength might be their proper actor in the sense that they can pick up any character and do that. And they are a blank canvas, maybe physically, maybe they're not particularly tall or they're not particularly small. So they haven't got a distinguishing physical feature or a look or a sound, which I guess is what they try and want you to be at drama school, don't they? They want to get all of that out of you and flatten you down and make you this actor project. So or if you haven't got something and you're looking for a unique selling point, maybe get one. So just to touch back on it again, say I'm going to start boxing. So your unique selling point is you can box. Say you're a female. It's a bit more interesting. It shouldn't be, but it's a bit more. What, a girl boxer? That's more interesting than a boy boxer.
Yeah.
Straight away, that's more interesting, etc. So like I'm a single dad. It's a bit more, I think, maybe incorrectly, but you don't see as many male single dads. So suddenly it's a bit more interesting than a female. So maybe then you capitalise on that. It's just you find something that you're interested in as well, and then it will be easier. It will become part of you, you know?
And you were telling me about this really interesting project you've got coming up.
Oh, yeah, I will do, actually. And so I'm currently producing a film called No Dog, and No Dog is based on a book called The Lost Boys by Justin Rollins, which is someone I knew from years ago back in our mutual misspent youth. And he wrote this book after doing quite a long time in prison. And that book has now been picked up by a top criminology professor and is now being studied on criminology courses around the country. And Justin is a guest speaker on various platforms, LBC, Sky, BBC, This Morning, about sort of the criminal justice system. And we bumped into each other again after years, and that was about sort of 5 years ago. And over the course of that time and different conversations, it's transpired that we're basically making a short film based on the book, and that's with a view to get financing for the feature. But we will do a festival run with it, and there's a documentary being made alongside it. And it's going really well. We start shooting on Friday, which is 4 days from now. Really exciting, really enjoyed this sort of first full producer role. I've done bits of work in production before. We've got a great director, Darius, Justin sort of co-producing. We've got a good sort of name attached to it, and a lot of our cast is street cast, because we felt that to reflect the book, which is set in the late 90s in South London, and that sort of graffiti gang culture. We did see actors, but you can't teach that sort of street savvy swagger that the guys we're using have got. They are sort of ex-offenders. They've got the look, they've got the sound, and it's real. And I'm really into the subject of social realism and that genre. And that's how sort of we're going to put this film together, with the sort of rawness. Think of like Kneel by Mouth by Gary Oldman, Fish Tank, Andrea Arnold, like those, that sort of style we're going for. So it's not glamorous at all, and it's just going to be a real look into this world, quite hard hitting. We've got some great people attached, like industry people, but also, yeah, really nice selection of street cast. Yeah, really excited. It's at No Dog Films on social media, so if you fancy a little look in,
definitely. And have a look.
And we'll make sure we get you along to the screen as well. I actually did mention it to him that I was coming on this, and I said maybe when we get it done, have a look, and we could all come and speak to you about it.
100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah. And what's your favourite career highlight so far?
The best shoot that I've been on for was Babs, which was a BBC film. And it was just such a lovely cast and crew. And the director, Dominic, was so... I mean, I had a satellite role, a small part in it, but you just felt really included and part of the team. And I forged a really nice friendship with Jamie Winston, who played Babs, when they were our children about the same age. So we're sort of friends as parents. I'm also friends with James, her fiancé and her. And it really showed me... I really learned a lot of how I'd like to be around set. And I've tried to follow that mould, producing No Dog, make it a really close sort of inclusive, positive, friendly space where everyone, even from like the extra who just walks past the lead parts, they're all vital and important. And when people feel part of something, that they'll give that a bit more. And it shows in their performances, and that law of attraction, the positive vibe we've got going there, has been really infectious. And even down to the pirate radio station scenes, we've got like proper like pirate radio DJ and MC on there, like from back in the day, Flex FM, like Smokey B and Tempo, like who are still out there now doing their thing. And it's just, and we've got Wavy Garms on board who are doing that real sort of nice mismatch of like late 90s sort of rave culture clothing that we used to wear. And anyone that was sort of around in the late 90s, like when everyone had a tag and it was sort of garage was just coming about, and drum and bass, and that you're going to recognise so much from it, even to the old phones and Safeway carrier bags. And it's just a great nostalgic genre piece that I think we're going to be really proud of, and hopefully is going to get that funding to do the full feature.
Amazing. I can't wait to watch it. That is completely up my street anyway, so I can't wait to see that. But yeah, 100%, when it's all done, make sure you come back on here.
Yeah, and I will, Jim. I'll send it over, yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely having you. Thank you so
much. No, thank you very much for your time. And yeah, anyone listening, stay till the end. Good luck with your future endeavours. And if I can help in any way, just get in touch via social media. And
how can they get in touch? What's your tag?
It's just at Todd Von Joel, everything. I only do Twitter and Instagram. I'm too like insecure and paranoid for Facebook, and too old for all the other ones, TikTok and Snapchat and that.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Acting with Asher. For any questions, please get in touch with us at www.jadeashervoiceovers.com or follow us at Jade Asher. Thanks again. Bye.